couldn't believe it. I'm really nervous. Well, I'm going to give a testimony about what God's been doing in the last, you know, year and a half with me. But before I start, I just want to do this. This is what all the other visiting speakers do when they come here. So I'm going to do it too. This is a DVD that I produced. It's called Greener Pastures by Enid Hellinger. Now, hang on. This teaching is revolutionary. It will change your life. I can guarantee you that this is the best DVD you'll find on planting your seed, watering it, and seeing an abundance, an overflow of all things good. It'll teach you how to expand your horizons, and anyone can do it. And now I'm going to tell you what's in it. I got this from work. And it's how to make your grass grow. And there are seeds in here. And it makes covers 30 times 30 centimetre patch. So if you don't have any grass on your place, let me know, because I've got a whole box full of it underneath there. Okay. Right. So I hope that broke the ice. For me too. Okay. All right, let's... I just want to pray first before I start. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for tonight, and I just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in my life, Father. Just in these last 18 months, I pray, Father, Lord, that Holy Spirit would just speak through me tonight, and I pray that I'll have ears to hear what he has to say. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you just bless these people, and I just pray that they'll get something out of it tonight for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Okay, I'll start off with Jeremiah 1, verse 5. I got a guy here in this church a couple of weeks ago. He gave me this verse, and the beginning of it says, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you." And anyway, he gave me that, and I went home and I was talking to God about it. And I thought, you know how, like, you know, you can read heaps of scriptures saying that, you know, he knew us before the foundation of the world and all that. And we read it so many times, but this time I sat there and I was talking to him and I said, you know, like he said, that he knew, hang on a minute, I better get back to the thing. that he formed me in the belly, before he formed me in the belly, he knew me. And I was thinking about that, and I thought to myself, well, that means that I actually existed before I was actually became a seed. So I existed in the heavens and in the spirit. So he knew exactly what I looked like, who I was, and who I was going to become before I was actually even that tiny little seed that went in my belly. So I thought that was pretty cool. And he's never given up on me. He could have. I've given him many opportunities, but he didn't. And many times through alcoholism and self-harm, I intentionally and I unintentionally tried to do away with myself. Why? Because I didn't like me. I actually hated me. And it was interesting because I was at a friend's place last night. We were watching a movie called Amish Grace. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it or not. But it said this Amish fella said in there, he said, "Hate is a very big, very hungry thing with very sharp teeth. And it'll eat up your whole heart and leave no room left for love." And that's exactly what happened with me, because I hated myself so much that I couldn't love me and I couldn't love other people either. And, you know, and the thing is that in the midst of it, God still loved me. You know, I could have died and I didn't, and I'm still here and he still loves me. As we grow up, we're influenced by our peers and by our parents and by others in authority over us. And, you know, they can say a lot of things to us that from our childhood upwards, you know, like negative words and stuff. And if we grow up with negative words spoken over us, it can determine who we think we are, not who we are. So there's a big difference between thinking and knowing who we are. But there's hope. There's one person that can change all that, and that's God. But we have to let him. Sometimes we're unaware what words can do to us, negative words it is, and we can act or react subconsciously because of those words. For us to change, all that's required for us to do is to make... is to ask God to make us more and more like Jesus. And that gives him permission to change us in areas we never he expected him to. Tanya spoke a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, and she had a picture up on the screen up there, and it was a picture of a old lady in a wheelchair, and sitting in front of her was a wall, and on that wall was a silhouette of this young girl dancing, and that's how she saw herself. And underneath that picture, it had a comment that said, how others see you is not important, how you see yourself is everything. And I fully believe that. And Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 says, you know, well, we all know the scripture, I don't really have to read it. You know, it says the two greatest commandments are, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. And all your mind. That's the first commandment. The second commandment is to love your neighbour as yourself. And I used to think to myself, well, how can I love my neighbour if I don't love myself? You know, like, it's pretty hard because you never really fully love people if you don't love you first, because you always think they're out to get you. And I used to think like that probably most of my Christian walk. Most of my life, I thought like that. So if we don't see ourselves, if we don't really love us first, we'll see others in the same light as ourselves. So if we think we're a nobody, that we don't matter, it can make a huge impact on our life. A low self-esteem can make us introverted, and we look at ourselves and we look at our faults. We don't look out to others, and that creates big problems in our life. But when we know who we are in Christ, like who we really are, well, that changes everything. We look outwards and people can see Christ in us, and we love others with a pure love without thinking negatively. So how we see ourselves is everything. In retrospect to that picture, I've seen myself dancing across this stage here in the spirit, you know. I've seen myself twirling. I've actually seen myself leaping up onto the wall, you know, jumping up on the wall and actually leaping off it. And you know, it doesn't really matter whether it ever happens in the natural. It doesn't matter because I've already seen it and it's already happened. It's happened in the spirit. So it doesn't matter whether it's happened because it's already been done. Thanks, Tanya. growing up, I never, growing up, my My parents used to always tell me that I didn't amount to anything and that I would never amount to anything. And so it always made me feel inferior, and I was compared to my sister a lot. Actually, here's a funny thing. I was thinking about this morning, about being compared to my sister, and I thought of that meerkat that goes, compared to market.com. Sorry, I just had to add that bit. Anyway, so my sister was natural and I was adopted, so that made a huge difference in our family, not so much with my mum, but with my dad. So I always thought that I was no good and that everything that I did was no good, that I didn't matter as a person. So I grew up with a low self-esteem and I didn't like me. I didn't like who I was. And many times, heaps of times, I used to call out to God and say, God, why was I even born? So I carried that into adulthood, and the low self-esteem led me into paths that ended up into, that only caused me harm and made my self-worth even lower. 99% of the time, I've never believed that God loved me, even throughout all my Christian walk, let alone that he liked me. I always thought that he would reject me if I stepped out of line, if I didn't read the word or if I didn't pray. It was sort of like, well, if you went two or three days without it, it was like, okay, well, God doesn't love you anymore. You can't really go back because he's already rejected you in the first place, so you really don't have a hope of going back. But the truth is he never did. God never, ever gave up on me. And he never, ever rejected me. And I may not have seen the truth, nevertheless, it was the truth. He never left. He never gave up, and he loved me regardless. 99% of my life, I believed the enemy's lies. All the negative words, no matter where they came from. But God's changed all that. So, 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, maybe it doesn't. Okay. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Okay. Oh, yes, it is. Sorry about that. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In early December, and I guess that was sort of the pre-something, whatever you call it, and this is the real guts of the thing. In early December last year, I had to go to the doctor, and I didn't go to my doctor, he was away. So I went to a different doctor I'd been to before, and I was sitting on a wooden chair, and the wooden chair creaked. So I turned around and said, oh, it must be hitting the wall. Except it wasn't hitting the wall. And I went, and I made a joke, and I went, oh, it must be because of my weight. So he said to me, oh, so Enid, have you put on weight? And I went, yes, I have. So he started telling me all about all these different diets I could go on, blah, 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 blah. And in the end, after the end of the conversation, I told him I didn't agree with some of his diets, but doesn't matter. And in the end, I made a statement and I said to him, you know what? I don't like the way I look, but I like me. And I sat there and I thought, did I just say that? Like, did I just say that I like me? Like, I could not believe that, like, it actually shocked me that it actually came out of my mouth. And I went home and I was talking to God about it. And I said to him, you know, for the first time, this will tell you how old I am. For the first time in 57 years, it's the first time I've ever been able to say that I like me. And I really do. I really like who I am. You know, and what's more, I've come to conclusion that God likes me. And he always has. I just never saw it. A while ago, I sort of started to believe that God actually loved me, that I didn't have to pray every day and I didn't have to read the Bible for 3 or 4 hours, and that whether I read it every day or not really didn't matter. Was the fact, or the truth of the matter was that God loved me. So I had got to that place, but I didn't. But, you know, love and like are two completely different words, you know. I could believe that God loved me, but I couldn't believe that he liked me. You know, because I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, you know how a lot of Christians will come up to you and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. And you know they hate your guts. And you think to yourself, why the hell did you come and tell me that? Because I know you really don't like me anyway. So it just goes to prove that love and like, it's two different things to it. Yeah. So the thing is that he likes me. And even though I've got lots of faults, because I tend to look on the outside, like I look at my weight, I look at the fact I smoke, I look at the fact that I use sometimes bad language, never in church, but... But maybe at work, yeah. So, but the thing is, you know, like he likes me even though I'm overweight. He likes me even though I smoke. He likes me even though I use bad language. The fact of the matter is, he likes me, and he looks on the inside. He doesn't look on the outside. I'm the one who looks on the outside. So he likes me. Why? Because I'm Enid. And I'm just like him. So. Over the years, I've been under psychologists and psychiatrists and all them people. So if there's any here, it's not that I don't like you, I just don't like you. So, they used to get me to write out a list of, you know, you draw a line down the centre of the page and on one side you put good and on the other side you'd put bad. So I used to fill up, literally I would fill up all the bad points, and I'd sit there and I'd rack my brains trying to think of something good that I could write about me, because even growing up, because I have a son who's 36, when he was really little, I used to think I was a lousy mum. So I couldn't even put down that I was a good mother. So there was nothing that I could think that was good about myself. And the only time I ever wrote down anything good was when the psychologist would say, well, what about this? And I'd go, oh, yeah, all right, whatever, you know. So I'd write it down. And then, but now, oh, I've got it here. Now I can draw a line and I can double fill the good side and have a few bad. So there will always be things that I can work on, but how cool, more good than bad. So do you want to hear all the good stuff about me? Yeah. Okay. The top of the list is I like who I am. I like me. That's the top of the list. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. I'm committed. I'm loving, caring, I have a heart to serve. I'm a great mom. Yes. I'm a good listener. I've got a great personality. I've got a good sense of humour. I have the ability to make people laugh. I'm a worshipper. I'm prophetic. I'm willing to change. I'm a good poet. I'm a great writer. And I'm intelligent. So... So the bad side of it is, well, the three I mentioned, but, you know, like I need more wisdom in my life. I tend to lack wisdom a lot of times. Like sometimes God will show me stuff about people and I just end up, you know, like the foot and mouth disease, you know, you say it before you actually think about what you're saying and it just comes out. And I need more patience and more sensitivity, and I get aggro really quickly. Don't drive with me in the car. You'll know what road rage is. my son always tells me I have road rage, so that's something I need to work on. So, do you know who changed all that? God and only Him. And I never ever asked Him to change my perspective of myself. That I think that's the most amazing thing in all of this, is that I never asked Him to change my perspective of myself. The only thing I ever asked Him for was to make me more and more like Jesus. And that's all I've ever asked Him. And He's just changed so much in this last year. But to say that I like me just tops it off. And I always also realise how many people like me. And that's a big thing, because I... in the past, it was always like people would say they would like me or give me a compliment, and I'd go, yeah, what do you want? You know? And never believed anybody. But, you know, since I've been here at this church, it amazes me all the time how many people were like, really, really like me for me. Not for anything, not for, you know, not because I have heaps of money, because I don't. So I can't because of that. But they just like me because you like me. That's it. So I just want to say that in ending, that He can do the same for you as He did for me. I'm not His favourite, and He loves everybody equally. And all we have to do is just let Him. Let Him do what He wants, not what you think that He should do. It can happen suddenly, or it can happen, you know, in a while. I mean, it took me 57 years, so, you know, it's entirely up to Him how He does it. So all I just want to say is just don't give up, because He never gave up on you, and never think it won't happen to me, because sometimes it happens when you least expect it. So don't give up. Keep hanging on. All things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with Him. And I want to end on this scripture. It's in Jude 24-25. And it says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen."
Show everyone.